Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us in this act of worship as we come together to celebrate Pentecost. You know, this is the first time that we've done anything like this on YouTube. And I'm sure that as you've been in lockdown in your own homes, you've been able to experience a great multitude of different worship experiences that you can just click onto. So I'm afraid this might come across a little bit basic. But I do hope, though, that you see it as an honest attempt for us to worship together. You know, we can all be confident that as we worship from our own homes, God is present in each of us. And we are still joined in communion with each other because we are joined in communion with Him. And at this time, this Pentecost, we celebrate God's great gift of God the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in and through and around each of us. So let's give thanks to this great God of God and join together in prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, we come here today to give you our thanks and praise. We celebrate all that you are and all that you mean to us. Thank you that you are always present with us and in us. And we thank you for the gift of you, God, the Holy Spirit. We praise you that when you came at Pentecost, your church was born. You are Almighty God, and yet you live in us and in your world. Thank you that our weakness is made strong by your Spirit. Our fears are eased. Our minds are calmed. Our life is stilled. And our soul finds peace through your presence in us. Our hearts are ignited with your power, and your joy invades our lives through the life of your Spirit in us. So thank you, God the Holy Spirit, for your presence with us. And I pray that we might encounter you in this time together. Be real in us and receive our praise. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to hand over to the Frost family now, who are going to lead us in a song of worship.
What can I give to you?
And now we're going to hear something of that first Pentecost. Emma Richardson is going to come and read to us from the second chapter of Acts. Thanks, Emma.
Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everybody present was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, they began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At this time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the noise, everybody came running because they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken. They were completely amazed. They didn't know what was happening. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. You see, these people are all from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are. There's Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the areas around Libya, around Cyrene. There's visitors from Rome. There's Cretans and Arabs. We're all here. And we can all hear these people speaking our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." But then Peter stepped forward with the 11 apostles and he shouted at the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see here was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in heaven and signs on earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls out on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thanks be to God.
Well, hello everybody. I wonder if you could start by doing me a favour. I wonder if you could, if you can, if you want to, I want you to stand up. Well, that already feels like you're back at a 10:45 service at PMC, where I'd often ask you to stand up and to turn to the people around you and greet them and shake hands with you. Well, I'm not going to ask you to do that. Instead, what I'm going to ask you to do is to start breathing. Take some deep breaths. Go on. Maybe you can feel your diaphragm here. That's that muscle down here which moves up and down. And as it moves up and down, it opens your chest cavity and allows the lungs to open and to inflate and deflate. And as the lungs open and close, so they draw the air through your nostrils, through your mouth. Maybe you can feel the air now moving across your nostrils or across your lips. As you take those deep breaths. And maybe you can imagine what's happening here in your lungs right now as you take those breaths. Within your lungs, there are little air pockets called the alveoli. And the alveoli will transfer the oxygen out of the air in your lungs into the bloodstream. And the oxygen moves right the way around your system into the bloodstream to every cell of the body. Enables the cells to do what the cells need to do. They need that energy, the oxygen in order to work, in order for the whole of the body to work as it does. In fact, every living creature, everything that exists on this planet, every creature needs that breath of life within it, the oxygen in order to live. So are you still breathing? I hope you are. Don't stop breathing, whatever you do. But you can sit down if you want now. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you've got breath today, praise God. Give God the praise. And keep breathing. Every living creature needs that breath within us. I hope you're still breathing. And I hope you recognise what I've been saying. I do have to warn you, of course, that this is from the man who failed at O-level biology. I might have got some of the details wrong there, but I think that's the gist of it. Keep breathing. You know, the COVID-19 virus, one of the things that it does is to attack the lungs. And so ventilators are used in hospital for patients who need that help to keep them breathing. Without oxygen, our bodies can't work. Without oxygen, we're dead. So keep breathing. If you hear nothing else from this sermon, hear this, keep breathing. In the book of Hebrews, in the Old Testament, in Genesis, right the way through the Old Testament. The Hebrew there, there is a word, ruach. It's a very difficult word for us to translate because there's a whole range of different meanings that is attached to that one word, ruach. It can mean breath, as we've been talking about breath, but it can also mean wind or breeze, or it can mean spirit. So it's there right at the very beginning, in the very first story, in the very first creation narrative. The ruach, the wind, is blowing across the waters of chaos. The ruach of God, the spirit of God, is there, right there in creation. And then Adam, when God creates Adam out of the soil, out of the dust, out of the stardust, out of the atoms, out of inanimate stuff, God creates the body, but it's just a waxwork. It's not living until God breathes his ruach, his spirit, into Adam, and Adam lives. We need that breath of life within us. And then in Ezekiel, there's a vision that Ezekiel has of a valley of dry bones. There's been a battle, a terrible battle, and a terrible defeat. The enemy has come rushing down. If you are in a battle, you don't want to be on the valley floor. You want to be up on the hillsides. And the ambush has come, and the army has been defeated. And now all that's been left are these parched, dry bones, bleached dry bones. How can these dry bones live? Well, of course not. Dry bones will never have that life until there's the sound of a rushing wind coming that comes into that valley, and the bones begin to rattle and come together. But it's not until the flesh comes onto the bones, and then the wind comes into those bodies that have been created, that those bodies can live once again. Can these dry bones live? Well, only with the breath, the wind, the ruach of God. The same is true in the New Testament. One word, Greek word, is used for a range of meanings here, again, whether it's breath or wind or spirit. And it's the word pneuma, with a P on the front, pneumatic. Jesus talks long into the night with Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, you must live again, you must be born again. Born of water and the pneuma, the spirit, the breath of God within you. And Jesus goes on and says, it's a bit like the wind outside, the wind that's blowing. You can't get a handful of that pneuma, that breath, that wind, that spirit. You can't see it, but you can see the effects that the wind has. You can see it blowing in the sails of a sailing boat and sending the boat across the ocean or across the lake. You can see it turning the hands or the arms of the windmill. You can see the effect of it having as it bends the trees and the branches, and the wind rustles the leaves of the tree. You can see what the wind is doing as it batters on your window. The same is true with the Spirit of God. We can't see the Spirit. We can't see God. But we can see what the Spirit is doing. We can see the effects that it has in the world around us. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again with the breath of God, the Spirit in you, to be born again. And in those resurrection appearances, as Jesus appears to the disciples in the place that they're gathered, Jesus appears to them and he breathes on them and says, receive the pneuma, receive the Holy Spirit, receive my breath. The disciples are going to be the body of Christ, and the body is Christ is going to continue the work that Christ has started. He says, just as the Father sent me, so now I'm sending you. Go and do my work. Go and do the things that you've seen me doing, but you're going to need my breath within you. And he breathes on them. And so we come to this story that Emma has just read to us from the book of Acts. The first day of Pentecost, when the disciples are together in that upper room, and they hear the sound of a wind, a mighty rushing ruach, and it fills the place, and it fills them with the Spirit of God, the ruach, the pneuma of God. And this is the birth of the church. Just in the same way that when a baby is born and it comes out of its mother's womb, and the midwife snips the umbilical cord and slaps the baby on its bottom, and the baby and takes its first breath. And so this is the first breath of the early church, the church needing the breath of God within it. It takes its first breath here on the day of Pentecost. And just as I was saying at the very beginning about the way in which our bodies need the oxygen of life within it, so the body of Christ needs the oxygen of life within it, the breath of God within us too. And Peter starts to preach. He says, this is what the prophet Joel was telling you all about. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will have visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I love that. And I love dreaming dreams, but there comes the point where the dreams have got to be put into action. We need the energy that comes from the pneuma, the Spirit of God. We need that energy, that oxygen. So keep breathing. Keep breathing. There's an old hymn, isn't there? Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, so that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. That's what we want, to, isn't it? That we want to love the things that God loves and do the things that God wants us to do. So are you still breathing? I certainly hope so. I hope you never give it up. I hope you never stop breathing. Keep breathing. It seems strange for me to encourage you to keep breathing because, well, it's automatic, isn't it? Nobody teaches you how to breathe. Well, actually, if you are a member of a choir, often the choir leader will stop the choir practice and teach you to breathe again, you know, to say, you know, move those that diaphragm, open the chest so that you can really project that sound. And so we need to learn, Church of God, to be inspired. That's an interesting word, isn't it? To inspire, to breathe in the breath of God. Let God's Spirit fill the Church of God, body of Christ, learn how to breathe. So how do we do that? How do we breathe in the breath of God? How do we breathe in the Spirit, the pneuma? Jesus says, parents, you know how to give good things to your children. If your child asks you for something to eat, some bread or an egg, nobody would think of giving them a scorpion or a snake instead. No, as bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. And how much more then true is it of the of God? When you ask, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, ask and you will receive. Ask and God will give you the Holy Spirit. So keep breathing and keep asking God for that Holy Spirit to come into you. When you first become a Christian, you invite Jesus into your heart and into your life. Come and take control of my life. Come and dwell and live in me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he breathes his Spirit, his life into you, and you're born again. You live again with Christ's breath in you. But just as that baby, when that baby is born and takes its first breath and breathes its first breath from life's first breath, the baby doesn't then say, yeah, I've done that. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I've done that breathing stuff. I don't need to breathe anymore. Of course not. It keeps on breathing. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's a present continuous tense. So keep on asking to be filled with the Spirit. Every morning, let it be your prayer. Lord, fill me again with your presence. Fill me again with your pneuma. Fill me again today with your Spirit. And maybe not just once in the morning, but every day, every moment of the day, make it your prayer. Lord, fill me with your strength. Fill me with your oxygen of life so that I can do the things that you're wanting me to do. I can be your presence. I can be your power in the world. Fill me with life anew. And we need that life in the church, filling us again. Spirit of God, fill your church again. I just looked through this book. I picked it up. It came through the post the other day. Gavin and Anne Calver, Unleashed. And I just read the very first line in this book. It says this: To try to be the church without the continual empowerment of the Holy Spirit is like trying to breathe without lungs. That's the first line of the book. To try to be the church without the continual empowerment of the Holy Spirit is like trying to breathe without lungs. So, my encouragement to you today, keep breathing. Keep breathing. Don't stop breathing. Ask again for that Holy Spirit to come and fill your lungs, to fill the lungs of the church again, to empower us to do the things that we want to do and the things that God wants us to do, to be God's presence and God's power and God's peace in the world around us. May God bless us richly with that ruach, with that power of God, with that pneuma. Breathe on us again, the power of God. And may God bless you richly this week. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining with us in worship today. I hope that you've enjoyed it. But far more than that, I hope that you've been able to encounter something of God in our time together. My prayer is that you might know the presence of God's Spirit, God's power, His joy, His strength, His peace with you in the coming days and weeks ahead. Let's pause for a moment, shall we, and then let's pray a final blessing on all of us. Great and glorious God, we do praise you once again for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are always present with us, and you want us to be filled with your love, your power, your peace, your joy, your life. Go with us now and abide in us, we pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and always. Amen.